From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, we will talk about Copernicus, science, religion, all under the principle. But here's what's happening. While the world in a state of chaos tonight, a major manhunt has been launched for gunmen who shot to death 12 people at the Paris office of a French magazine. 8 journalists, 2 policemen were among the dead, a number injured. Police issued photos of 2 suspects, describing them as armed and dangerous. Police said arrest warrants had been issued for Sharif Kouachi, a 32-year-old, and his brother Saeed, who's 34, who they say were believed to be armed and dangerous. Now, there's another suspect, an 18-year-old. His name was bantered around social media and by the police. He decided he was going to turn himself in. They've got him in custody as well. Douglas Hagman, of course, private investigator, also heads up the Northeast Intelligence Network. We want to check in with Doug for a moment here on this. Douglas, what do we know to date now about this situation? To me, it doesn't seem like a major organized attack. Maybe these people were acting on their own. What do you think?
Well, what we do have is verification that back in 2013, the Islamic terrorist magazine known as Inspire, they published Wanted Dead or Alive for Crimes Against Islam, and an article for the editor and the founder publisher of that magazine in France. So we know that. We know that the attackers, specifically Sharif, was arrested in 2005, convicted and jailed in 2008, subsequently released for operating a terrorist network, funneling fighters from or to Iraq and other Middle Eastern hotspots. So there was, in looking at the attack as well, the attackers did exhibit some tactical military training. They had some knowledge of the target, at least to some extent, and some suggestive pre-attack surveillance or knowledge of the schedule of the people there. So there seems to be some suggestion of operational support. However, it does appear to be limited to this small network in this particular attack, which does not make it any less, of course.
Apparently, they left some ID in their car when they got to the scene. To me, that seems pretty sloppy.
Sloppy indeed, and that, you know, we all question this, having been victims of things or having been victims of propaganda before. Obviously, a well-placed passport, well-left passport to be found. It does beg certain questions, but at this point, we're waiting to see exactly what was found, where it was found, and under what circumstances.
Okay, Doug, let's keep in touch. Doug's website, HomelandSecurityUS.com. In a moment, Jerry Corsi joins us for the full hour as we talk about the ramifications of this tragic event that occurred in Paris. Meanwhile, a suicide bomber rammed his explosive-laden minibus into a gathering of recruits outside a police academy in the heart of Yemen's capital, killing at least 32 people in the latest high-profile attack there. Jeez. The decades-long drought in antibiotic discovery could be over after a breakthrough by U.S. scientists. Maybe. Their method for growing bacteria has yielded 25 new antibiotics, with one deemed, as they say, very promising. The latest new class of antibiotics to make it to clinic was discovered nearly 3 decades ago. And since that time, of course, bacteria has become very resistant to a lot of antibiotics, and they're having trouble trying to control this. In a very unusual study, Norwegian scientists are saying that people born during periods of solar calm may live longer, as much as 5 years on the average, than those who enter the world when the sun is very active. I'm going to have to go back to 1950, when June, when I was born, to see how the sun was acting. 9 earthquakes, ranging in magnitude from 1.6 to 3.6, rattling North Texas over a period of less than 24 hours. What the heck is going on? Let's check in with geologist Jim Birkeland on this one. Jimmy, what's going on out there?
Nothing surprising. My gosh, I've been through this so many times. There's no question that this is from fracking, hydraulic fracturing of the rocks during recovery of oil and gas. And now Oklahoma had has now become the most quaky state, exceeding California. They're mostly smaller, but they've had up to close to 5 magnitude. In fact, they had a 5.7 in November of 2005 at Prague, Oklahoma. And this is all in the area of this hydrologic fracturing.
Can we get a big one, Jim, because of this? I mean, these have been relatively small, but exactly. Can you get a big one?
Very, very unlikely. Now, they found the same thing in the 1960s and up to about 1970 in the Denver area, where they were getting rid of radioactive waste under deep wells. And all of a sudden, Denver began to shake, and the older timers had never felt such a quake, and there became hundreds of them. And, of course, the government denied there was any relationship to this induction of this these 5,000 or 12,000-foot deep wells in some places, and down into the basement rock. But then when they had to shut down the pumps for maintenance after a few months, the earthquake stopped. And then when they started them up again, the earthquake.
There they go again. Amazing. You can find Jim's website, by the way, on our website under the Twitter feed. All news guests, all their websites are put there under the Twitter feed. Jim, thank you so much. In a moment, Jerry Corsi joins us for the hour as we talk about this tragedy in Paris. What might have been the catalyst for this? Many are saying, of course, that the people who worked at the French magazine, they made satirical remarks about the Prophet Muhammad. And, that word was out to get the editor. And apparently that's what has happened. But we'll check in with Jerry Corsi next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Jerry Corsi, of course, Ph.D. in political science from Harvard University, writes for WND.com and is a noted author, Hunting Hitler, Who Really Killed Kennedy, several of his most recent works. He is a regular here on Coast to Coast. We're going to be talking with him this hour about this situation in Paris. And Jerry, first and foremost, thank you for making yourself available.
George, always a pleasure. Thank you.
I've got to bring this up, too. I mean, we have 37 people die in a bombing in Yemen, and it gets minimal mention to the 12 that were shot to death, sadly and tragically, in Paris. Why is that?
Well, there's a double standard in the media, clearly. I mean, first of all, the Paris attack was shocking and horrific. It was in Paris, the heart of what we consider basically democracy and the heart of, of course, democracy goes back to ancient Greece and the United States, but the tradition of a free society in Paris is something that people respect and look up to, and here you have this shocking incident. There's other violence that's not covered. We've had something like, several hundred Christian churches in Nigeria destroyed in recent months by Islamic violence. That's been received very little coverage in the media. But yet the Paris attack, Islamic violence, is going to attract attention occurring in a major industrial northern city, like a European city like Paris.
I find it ironic that they got their names so darn quickly. Now, some people are saying that they may have left some ID material in the car, but I still find this strange. I mean, how could they be so careless as to leave their names in a car?
That's what's being reported, and it does seem very strange because the attack had characteristics of being professionally planned. The knowing that an editorial meeting was going on at the Charlie Hebdo magazine was, the timing of the incident, the way the terrorists showed up and approached the building and escaped, the way they used the weapons and fanned out, leaving the site of the shooting, all those aspects of the attack looked very professional. The terrorists looked like they had training in the use of the weapons they were using. And then to leave ID in a car is just an amateur move. I mean, it's almost suspect that that's not what happened, but it's certainly what's being reported, and it would be a bonehead move if a group of terrorists left their IDs as calling cards at the scene of the event.
I am strangely getting emails already, Jerry, from people who are saying this is a ruse, it's a scam, it's a setup to get the royals off the front page because of the sex scandal of Prince Andrew. I don't think that's the case, but it does make you wonder about the speed. I mean, within hours, they knew who these people were.
It is remarkable. I mean, it's suspect, too, as to how the information got out, whether it was really leaving ID or there was a tip-off or some inside information that leaked to the police. I mean, it's very difficult to believe that the terrorists actually left IDs in the car at the scene of the shooting. And clearly, it does manage the news. Clearly, the news in Europe with the royals and the sex scandal with Prince Andrew are going to be wiped off the news with this incident. And there's always a wag the dog kind of suspicion when some incident like this comes along and changes the topic. At the same time, George, I think that this is not a related incident. I think there's a history here where the Islamic terrorists have targeted this magazine, and clearly the magazine was provocative and it's ridiculing of the Prophet Muhammad. That's certainly going to be a red flag. We know that historically over the past few years that it is a red flag to radical Islamic extremists whenever the Prophet Muhammad is abused in cartoons.
Well, and that brings up an interesting question. We're talking about two issues. I mean, this episode today in Paris was disgusting, deplorable, and every other word you can use. But why does a media outlet like this French satirical magazine, why do you have to poke fun at somebody's religion or at, you know, the individual, the prophet that people who are of the Islamic faith, you know, adore, trust, and pray to? Why do you need to poke fun at something like that? To me, that's not funny. It's not being satirical at all. It's being mean. And, you know, nobody's justifying the shooting. I want to make sure everybody understands that. But why do they provoke people like that?
Well, George, I find it offensive, too. I mean, I've, as you recall, I was on the, you know, led an Iran Freedom March going back to 2005, mm-hmm. Going from Philadelphia to Washington, walking, and with a group of Muslims who were, you know, marching for freedom in Iran. I love those people. I know that there are peace-loving and you know, great citizens who are Muslims. So the idea of hating the Islamic religion or inducing hate against the Islamic religion or any religion is offensive. I mean, I find it also offensive when cartoons like The Family Guy poke fun at Jesus. I think these are topics, unfortunately, that do incite reaction.
Yes, to the radicals, regardless of whether they're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever they may be, there's a sector, there's a factor of very, you know, very, geez, what's the phrase I'm trying to use here, Jerry? But these people are on the cusp of anger, and you don't have to push them over.
Well, it's incendiary, and the people doing these cartoons, whether it's anti-Christian or anti-Islam or anti-Jewish, know that they're being provocative. Now, the problem is if we're going to have a robust First Amendment and free expression, we have to tolerate speech that we find offensive. But I think at the same time, it's appropriate to point out that a magazine like this Charlie Hebdo or Family Guy abusing Jesus or anti-Semitic cartoons or remarks anywhere in the world are offensive and provocative and really, I think, are outside the bounds of good taste, even if we have to tolerate them under free expression rules. I don't want to start prohibiting these kinds of speech because then you begin to get into a censorship that eventually you end up with no free expression and no First Amendment.
No, these people, these individuals need to school themselves. These media outlets don't need government to dictate what to print or what to say or what to show. I don't want that, neither do you. But they need to use a little more common sense. I mean, on this radio show, for example, Jerry, we'll cover everything, as you well know. But you know what? I'm not going to offend people. I mean, I'm not going to attack people because they have different views. I mean, we could be doing that all night. Nothing ever gets done. And the one thing that I learned a long time ago that my parents taught me, and that was, George, you know what? The one thing you need to stay away from in anything you do is arguments about people's faith and religion, because you just can't win. And when you poke fun at the Prophet Muhammad or Jesus, or, you know, you have Jewish people and you depict them in certain phrases and looks, you're asking for a problem.
Well, I agree. I was taught the same, George. And I think, the you know, as a child, I can remember my parents, you know, making it clear that abusing someone's religion was just out of bounds. And it's hateful. I mean, this Charlie Hebdo was hateful in terms of its views and portrayal of the Prophet Muhammad. And that's going to be offensive to those who respect and worship Prophet, you know, Allah, and regard the Prophet Muhammad as the bearer of that faith. It's just no point to abusing or inducing hate for other people's religion. It's not productive. It doesn't advance us as a people or a civilization. It's out of bounds. We may have to tolerate it under free expression and First Amendment rules, but it doesn't mean we have to like it.
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, Is this acceptable behavior to go and kill people who poke fun at your prophet or at your God or whatever? Absolutely not. But the bottom line is should they be doing that in the first place? Should these media outlets be, you know, being attacking and satirical? And I don't think they should be.
Well, it's clearly provocative. It's clearly, you know, poking a stick in the face of a bear in terms of, you know, we know that currently in the world, extreme Islam is on the watch against any attacks on the Prophet Muhammad or on Allah or on the religion. And so any group, and the editors who were killed at this Charlie Hebdo knew that they were stepping on ground that was inviting an attack. The magazine had already been firebombed. These editors made numerous statements making it aware that they knew the threat. And of course, George, it does not justify the terrorist attack. Violence in reaction to hateful speech on religion is not justified. It demands an enormous amount of tolerance on everybody's part to put up with hateful speech on religion, which this magazine did exhibit.
I think what this opens up to, Jerry, is I think it's even broader than this, and that is governments need very quickly to start ascertaining what they're doing in the Middle East and why they're there. And, of course, the bottom line that you and I are going to say is it's oil, and that's one of the things they want. They want natural resources. But I think that we're at a point right now where this whole thing is going to blow up, not only in France, but in England, and probably here in the United States. I mean, we haven't had a major terrorist attack since, and I'm not talking about the Boston Marathon, but since the big one, of course, of 9/11. This is easy. To see what we saw today, 12 people gunned down, a number of other people injured, that is the easiest way to disrupt. I mean, you can't stop that.
It's a very difficult situation where a small group of people, perhaps as these terrorists in France, we don't know that they were organized in any great extent.
But you don't have to be organized. I mean, if you get some assault weapons,
right,
give it to a few people who are really ticked off over whatever reason, and in this case, the satirization of Prophet Muhammad, you can't stop two people from walking into an unlocked office. They just went right in.
It's a lone wolf kind of attack, and that's what we see right now. That's what the evidence currently is. And we've had a series of these attacks that have not been well reported, including in France, with cars being driven into crowded sidewalks by Islamic extremists. There's also a problem, George. I think we've got to have some recognition by the governments around the world that this is Islamic extremism. It's got to be called for what it is.
No question.
And I've argued, you know, repeatedly that Islam will need to go through a reformation in many ways to become, you know, truly a modern religion, the same way Christianity had to go through a reformation. Christianity had to come to a point where it said, we're not going to indulge in violence against people who don't believe our religion. We're not going to have an inquisition anymore. I mean,
Jerry, we're going to come back. We're going to take some calls with you in the final half hour we have. We'll be back. Ironically, this newspaper went out of business some time ago and then popped back in again. Jerry Corsi with us. We'll take your phone calls as well as we talk about the tragedy in Paris. So they have this 18-year-old in custody who turned himself in. We don't know whether he's part of this or not, but I got to believe, Jerry, if he is part of it and he knows the other two, he's going to sing like a bird.
Well, there's no doubt. I think the police do have pretty good inside information. I mean, it's still hard to believe that the terrorists left ID information in the car at the scene, but clearly they've identified the perpetrators. The information's out. A dragnet is looking for the two remaining brothers not in custody, and I suspect they'll be arrested fairly soon.
Well, I'm predicting there will be a shootout, one heck of a shootout before they get them.
Let's hope not, George, but often that's the way these things end. I mean, we recall what happened in the manhunt for the Boston Massacre bombers. These lone wolf kinds of attacks are very difficult either to stop or to catch the perpetrators without more violence.
Now, we're going to take your calls for the rest of this half hour with Jerry Corsi. Questions for him, or specifically if you want to sound off about this event and chime in on just how you feel about this. I mean, there is no question. I do not think governments should be muffling media at all. We should always be allowed to say what we want within the guise of some dignity. I mean, you hear me every night. I don't swear. I don't throw out words. You know, I go by the mandates of the FCC. When I was in college, I always was taught that these airwaves belong to you, not to me, not to my network, not to the company that owns us. They belong to you. And I've always tried to broadcast my programs that way. I've tried never to go over that line. Jerry, some media, they go over the line.
And, George, the provocative media, as this Charlie Hebdo magazine, knew that they were inviting trouble. I mean, it's clear that Islamic radicals are going to be deeply offended to the point of violence by cartoons which offend the Prophet Muhammad. So you know you're stepping on ground that's going to be dangerous once a magazine like this Charlie Hebdo does it. It's offensive. It was offensive to me. Any religion being abused, Christianity, any religion is offensive. But yet, George, within the tolerance of free speech, we have to be able to have robust and even offensive speech, even if it's in bad taste.
Jerry, back in 1975, when I was putting together my interviews with Jimmy Hoffa before he disappeared, and as I walked him to his car after our interview session was done, I really did think about, is the mob out here? Are they going to get him, as they, I think, eventually did? And you put yourself in the media in a very precarious situation, but you also try not to actively invite it. You're absolutely right. This satirical magazine knew for years, as they kept doing the caricatures of Prophet Muhammad and all the other things they did, that they were on very loose footing.
Well, George, all of us in the media know that, you know, whenever we express opinions or research, and your interviews with Hoffa were remarkable. And yes, you were aware that there was the likelihood, which came to be, that Hoffa would end with mob violence, which I believe is how Hoffa ended. At any rate, it's a tough line to walk because you want to robustly report things that you know are going to be controversial. What you have to do, I think, as a reporter in the media, if at all possible, is to do it respectfully. You can always express strong opinions as long as you're not hateful. And when you cross that line, whether, you know, it's poking fun at Christianity or Judaism or Islam, I think you've gone into very dangerous territory. You should know it, and it's really irresponsible to do that, even if it's within the bounds of the First Amendment.
Okay, let's go to the calls now with Jerry Corsi, or you're sounding off as well about this tragic event in Paris. We'll go to Fernando in Kentucky to get things started on the wild card line. Fernando, welcome to the program. Fernando?
Hi, how are you?
Good,
how
Fernando. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and I just wanted to touch on that subject just for a quick minute. It seems like, and it's not all media, but I think some of the media, they tend to give, you know, if it's any kind of insults to Christianity, they seem to give that a pass. For example, I read an article about there was some kind of an art project where these guys, you know, they basically urinated on a crucifix, and you know, that was left up on a, I think it was either the New York Times or one of the New York publications, and they actually took it down only after this incident happened.
Sure, I remember that.
And obviously, you know, that they refused to post the cartoon that this French guy had. And, mm-hmm. and again, you know, I'm not saying it's the smart thing to do to really insult any religion. But I just think it'd be nice to see some kind of a little bit of a better balance from some of your media outlets, you know.
Well, unfortunately, you know, Fernando, you're not going to get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be one-sided to a certain point, like this satirical magazine in France, and that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, should they be muffled? Absolutely not. Should they all be killed because of what they do? Definitely not. But somewhere along the line there's got to be some middle ground to some sensitivity. And I think, Jerry, that's what's lacking here. In a lot of these publications that are portraying Muhammad or Jesus or Buddha, there's no sensitivity anymore.
Well, that's a good point, George. And I think, you know, clearly even the writers of the satirical magazine in France would be offended if, say, Christianity was treated the same way they were treating Islam. I mean, the old do unto others as you would have done unto you is a good standard, and it should be applied when we deal with religious subjects. I think respect is really needed, and these kinds of provocative attacks on a religion are stepping into dangerous ground that is irresponsible. Again, it does not justify the violence. The violence was perpetrated by these terrorists in Paris was horrific and needs to be condemned equally strongly, and the perpetrators brought to justice.
Let's go to Scott in San Francisco. Welcome to the program, Scott. Go ahead and sound off. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. Hi, Jerry. George, I'm from San Luis Obispo, California.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Hey, you know, I didn't really follow the story about this Paris magazine. I did Google under Google Images of the magazine, and it's just about all their magazine covers are very offensive.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so they were looking for trouble. It was a matter of when. Now, Jerry, I wanted to ask you your opinion, because this, whether it's religious related or not, but about the Madrid bombing in 2005. You know, Al-Qaeda was responsible, and they admitted they were responsible for the attack. And there was an election the following day after the Madrid bombing. There was a presidential election. And the new president that was elected decided that he was no longer going to follow the United States in their foreign policies when it comes to terrorism. And Al-Qaeda made a truce and said, you know what, we're not going to be a threat to Spain anymore. Now, between that, now, you know, Al-Qaeda is obviously Islamic and religious related, but I wanted to get your opinion, what you thought about that, you know, that Spain has not had any terrorist threats, like between France and the United States and Great Britain. You know, even was it before, I think it was Osama bin Laden made a truce, also said the United States would drop their terrorist policies against the Middle East and leave their country. then they would withdraw their terrorist threats. You know, 9/11 was obviously an act of how would I say it? I mean, it was a point. They were trying to make a point. It was a terrible point. I mean, I don't agree with what they did, but at what point is U.S. going to back off and realize that these small groups are not going to give up? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean, and you're raising a very important point. I mean, first of all, the history worldwide and going back centuries of appeasement of, you know, violence and violent groups has not proven to be very productive. I mean, the classic example is Munich before World War II and the attempt to, by Great Britain, to appease Hitler, which did not work to prevent World War II. At the same time, I think there is a point where you have to ask whether all the wars we've been involved with in the Middle East for the length of time we've been involved were necessary, whether they were exercises in nation building that we did not need to take, could have been more limited exercises to go after a specific point, for instance, getting Al-Qaeda immediately after the 9/11 attacks, but not staying for years in the Middle East with a military presence. So there's a bound. I think appeasement doesn't work, but also we can be provocative with military, and we have to be very conscious not to be provocative when we could have more limited military steps to accomplish the purpose.
You know, Jerry, if we didn't care about the oil, we would not care about the emirs in Kuwait and the kings and princes in Saudi Arabia. But we do, and we do care about that. So we're there to protect them, and we're going to do whatever we have to do that. And, you know, that's part of the crux of the problem in the Middle East outside of the Israeli-Palestinian situation. We just seem to be everywhere.
I agree, George. You know, it's a little bit of an unrelated subject, but you and I have gone back to 2005 and 2006, you know, when I've made the point, and we've explored that oil is abiotic and readily available. I remember predicting on your show in that time that oil would be $100 a barrel.
And it was.
And at the time it was unbelieved that it could possibly be. And now I'm saying oil is going to challenge $50 a barrel with the fracking and the availability of oil in the United States. Hopefully one of the positives of the world realizing that peak oil was a hoax would be that we could establish some independence from the Middle East as having control over our politics because of oil. And certainly since the end of World War II, Franklin Roosevelt meeting with, you know, the heads of Saudi Arabia during World War II, which is a very little known meeting, but it was the beginning of our conceding to the various anti-democratic forces within the Middle East controlling oil because we needed the oil.
Next up, we go to Dave, Orange Park, Florida, east of the Rockies. David, you're on with Jerry Corsi. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Norrie.
Hi, David.
Fellow shipmate.
Thank you.
22 and a half years in the Navy.
Well, thank you for serving.
Well, thank you for serving. I'm a little bit fired up here because there is no excuse, absolutely no excuse for killing 12 people.
Nope.
Over a cartoon.
Not at all.
No excuse. I don't care. There, do you recall anybody dying over the portrait of the Virgin Mary that was made out of feces?
I don't recall anybody dying on that one.
Nope. And these two brothers, their Sinai brothers, were in Boston, right?
Yeah.
Now we got two more brothers, okay? There's parts of Paris that are under Sharia law. They're not under the French law.
16% okay? of the people in the French area, 16% in France, agreed
right.
with ISIS.
Exactly. And they're under Sharia law. The French government cannot control them. They are under Sharia law in France, and that's maybe why this magazine, or there's no excuse for going hog wild and insulting.
No, not at all. I mean, we're dealing here, David, with two distinct issues. One is, of course, how far does the media have to go to insult And this magazine went too far. And then on the other hand, you don't go and kill people merely because you don't like what they do or say. I mean, did they slap you in the face with your religion? Absolutely. But Jerry Corsi, you don't go and kill somebody over that.
Well, that's right, George. And everyone should be clear that, you know, we're saying that any of extreme violence is deplorable. It has to be stopped. It's criminal. The kind of terrorism we saw today in Paris, there's no excuse, no cartoon, no matter how offensive, justifies that kind of violence. It's also abhorrent when you see ISIS in the Middle East killing Christians, impaling them on crucifixes, beheading left.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, it's just
no one is going to. This violence has got to come to an end in the world, and hopefully incidents like we have today, the productive aspect will be to see the need to repudiate violence of this terrorist nature around the world.
And, the bottom line, too, Jerry, is this just tells you again how vulnerable we are as a society worldwide to any of this. I mean, there's nothing that could stop a sicko walking into a mall as it has happened and shooting away, or a theater, or a school, or anything. When these tragedies occur by these sick individuals, most of whom then kill themselves, these two did not, there's nothing you can do about it.
That's absolutely true, George. And it also should remind us that even if it's within the permission of free speech, these cycles of hate where someone decides to abuse someone else's religion end up violently and can end up violently, and they're not productive. We probably can't prohibit, under really allowing a robust First Amendment and free speech, people to say offensive things about others' religions. But at the same time, we can't condone that. We have to realize how dangerous it is, and that it's a path, the path of hatred, which only tends to breed more hatred. It's not productive.
Let's get Mark in Port Orchard, Washington now, west of the Rockies. Mark, let's squeeze you in here. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. You guys keep vacillating back and forth.
On?
From 1 minute, basically saying, oh, this is a horrible thing that happened.
Well, it is.
And then turning around and saying, almost like you're blaming the victims, that, yeah, but they overstepped the bound and they...
No. It's a twofold issue. It's a twofold issue. The magazine, Davey, Mark, the magazine, yeah. It's not justified to shoot anybody over this, but the magazine provoked it.
See, there you go again.
They did.
You're blaming the victims.
No, I'm not blaming them. I'm saying they provoked it.
They provoked it.
Are you saying they didn't?
By expressing an opinion. And if you go back... Go back and look in the... When the Nazis had just taken over Germany, and the way that they started cracking down on their papers and also complaining to other governments, when anybody started talking against the Nazis and everything, and also the way communist countries have done the same thing, that's basically what you do. You start making threats. You start trying to intimidate people, and you say, no, you can't say that. That's hate speech. That's whatever speech.
I'm not arguing with you about that, but here's my question to you.
Why do you keep flipping back and forth?
Mark, hold on. Yeah. Did the magazine provoke what happened today? Yes or no?
No.
No?
Expressed an opinion. No, you don't provoke somebody to just walk in and shoot you.
No. You're not getting the point. The point is they pushed these nuts into doing what they did. Jerry, thanks for being on tonight. Well, we got to get you back on.
Always a great pleasure. Thank you, George.
We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about Copernicus and science next.